episode 67 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Robin, and this week, I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Amy, and Sandy. Yellowstone National Park was created in 1872 as a public park for the benefit and enjoyment of the people, but it wasn't until August 25, 1916, that President Woodrow Wilson signed an act creating the National Park Service that placed all of the parks under one jurisdiction. Today, there are over 400 national parks and monuments, and this year, the Park Service is celebrating its centennial. With special free days, as well as Every Kid in a Park initiative, there's never been a better time to visit a park near you. And we want to make sure you get the most out of your visit. So let's get started. Sandy, I know you've gone to a lot of national parks. What are the most famous ones?
Well, I think everyone thinks of the Grand Canyon and Yellowstone and Yosemite. I've been to Yosemite a couple times, and it's just so phenomenal. And I want to go to all of them, but, you know, there's 400. So it might take me a while. But, yeah, my family, Yosemite holds a special place as one of our favorite trips because we've done it as family reunions twice. And so it was lots of little cousins playing in the woods, climbing on big rocks.
Okay, but I need to stress that you can go to a national park and not camp. This is very important. There are resorts.
We were glamping. It was... they were like these tent kind of things with cots and stuff. I mean, you know. It was nice.
Oh, still doesn't sound like glamping to me.
I stayed in one of those in Yellowstone when I was a teenager.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's perfect for family reunions. That's, to me, the best.
Not my family.
Yeah. Not mine either. My mother, awesome. May she rest in peace, her definition of camping was a holiday inn with black and white TV and no room service. So, yeah.
Well, Amy, when we were in Vegas, your mom and her friend who are like, 80 or something. They went to,
they were like hippies.
They went
to,
like,
you noticed Amy did not. Amy was at the Paris Hotel.
Yeah, exactly. I was at the resort going, you guys have fun.
They drove to, they went to like, what, Bryce Canyon and Arches and yeah. Zion. And I mean, they used Vegas as a jumping off point and went to mm-hmm. some really cool ones. So there's a lot of cool ones out there. I mean, even like I'm in North Carolina, so. You know, I was looking, I can't believe I haven't taken my kids to the Great Smoky Mountains, but I've been there a couple times. But even like the National Seashore and the, you know, Cape Hatteras lighthouses and stuff, those are considered national parks. So there's things that you wouldn't necessarily think are national parks.
Right.
Are.
Well, we had an episode just recently on Hawaii, on the Big Island, Hawaii, and a mm-hmm. great deal of the water around Hawaii is national park. And you don't think about it, but the fish that you can see and it's extraordinary mm-hmm. once it's protected like that. So, nice. So let's talk a little bit about how to get there. I mean, how do you plan your trip to a national park?
Well, I can speak to Yosemite because we did it twice. And what you have to do to stay at Yosemite is you have to, and I think this is true of a lot of them too, but you have to get on the phone or online 1 year and 1 day from when you want to check in. So what we would do is we'd have like a week range and we would try every day, you know, and it was harder for us because we had like 5 cabins we needed, you know, because they hold like between 2 to 5 people. So we needed enough for all the different families and stuff. So it can be kind of an ordeal.
However, there are alternatives.
There are options out there. Your travel agent can help you with this.
Yeah. Call your travel agent. Yeah.
Well, one of the big things that I want to do next is, take my kids on a guided tour of the national parks. And I probably won't get all my cousins on board with this, but I think I probably could get my parents and stuff. But, I want to not have to worry about where I'm staying and I want to not have to worry about driving. Another thing I found when I'm on these kinds of trips is if you can have somebody who can like speak to the history of the park and the history of the, you know, of the animals and things like that, then it really does enhance your experience. And so, that's kind of what I'm looking for when I think about like why I want a guide to take me to some of the ones I haven't been to yet.
And I think is that there's a lot of escorted tours who actually block space in some of these mm-hmm. resorts that are inside of the national park. You hear about these great resorts, especially like, people will call and say, I want to stay on the rim of the Grand Canyon. okay, it's great, but that's a national park. It's actually a national park resort, and it requires that 1 year and 1 day. Mm-hmm. And if it's 6 months away, too bad.
And the tour companies have blocked space. Mm-hmm. So they have, and they have relationships with these hotels too. So they have, you know, stuff set up well in advance. So it really does kind of take the pressure out of it of trying, like, I mean, yeah, I was on the phone, and because I needed so many, I had to be on the phone and not online, and so it was that much harder, and yeah, we were lucky to get, we got Curry Village. We really wanted housekeeping, which is kind of down by the river, and
that
it really is.
Really glamping it.
Yeah, housekeeping, you want to talk about, like, so Curry Village, which these are not called these names anymore, it makes me so sad, but anyway, Curry Village is like the little tent things that are up on platforms and you get cots, but housekeeping is like this cement wall shaped like an H, and it's like two sites together. So each site has three walls and a curtain. So
when they, not enough walls.
When they come
by, counting one too few walls.
So they, back to guided tours. Yeah. So, do you know, I, this is not supposed to be an episode on just guided tours, but there are a lot of benefits to guided tours. Yes. Not just that everything can kind of be planned out for you and that the hotels are all taken care of. Your kids, if you're going with your kids or even yourself, you're going to have Wi-Fi in those motor coaches. Mm-hmm. I just think there's so many benefits to guided. You're going to have that person, like Sandy was just saying, who's going to be on there with you saying, now we're going here and here's the history of here. And while you're here, you might want to eat here.
Yeah. Everything is like, yes. And don't eat those berries. Yeah. Yeah. These park rangers actually know what they're talking about. These tour guides, they do. Absolutely. They
park rangers are phenomenal. Mm-hmm. When I was in DC, to run the Marine Corps Marathon, we were down. And so this is another one that you might not really realize is a national park, but the National Mall is a national park where all the monuments are and stuff. So there are park rangers down there giving talks at certain times, and we walked up on the one doing the talk for the Vietnam Memorial, and he told us all the history of it and, you know, what is the significance of the way the names are laid out and, you know, how the ground slopes and how it's reflective, and it was just, you just get so much more out of it, and it really just makes it such a higher experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, you can walk up on the National Park Rangers, they're doing these talks, but when you have your own guide, you know, you get that all the time. So, yeah.
And a lot of the reason these places become national parks is for the story. I mean, there is a historical significance. There is a
conservation
natural significance. Yeah. Yes. And so it really behooves you to understand what it is that you're seeing, and appreciate what we have spent our tax dollars to preserve, honestly.
Yeah. And why, and how it's for all of us. You know, it's there for you to appreciate it, and, you know, your grandkids and great-grandkids 100 years from now, it'll be there for them. So it's definitely, you got to get to a national park.
So, Robin, I know you have some experience with booking clients to national parks, right?
Yes. My brother and his family, so it was my brother's sister-in-law and their two teenage boys, went on a family tour. It was, I think it was Wild West in Yellowstone. It was for a week. It started and ended in Salt Lake City. And they said it was wonderful. They were able to see things that they wouldn't have been able to see on their own. They were able to see a lot in a short amount of time.
How short? How long was that tour?
It was only a week.
Okay.
I know that there's another one that's 12 days because of schedules and sports. They only had a week to do this. So this one was perfect for them. And they loved it. They got to see so many things that they wouldn't have gone to see on their own. And and the kids enjoyed it because there were other kids their age. Because it was a family, it was booked as a family tour. So all of the people on it were families. And that was really nice because they did sometimes separate things with the kids. And they learned to appreciate the history.
Now, Amy, did you say you had clients who had done that?
I have some that are booked. They're ready to go this summer. Yeah. And I think that's why they chose it. I think a couple of years ago when they came to me, we were trying to piecemeal it together. And they were past that 1 year, 1 day. Mm-hmm. It was just, it was a lot of, it was exhausting for them. And honestly, it was exhausting for me as a travel agent.
Yeah. Where are they going?
And we have resources. Yeah. They wanted to do the, there were certain spots, but the Grand Canyon, not the Yellowstone area, but a few specific areas. And they ended up, they chose a 7-night itinerary also. Yeah, a lot of these, you know, you get to see a lot of the, not just the national parks, but you're starting in some cool areas and you're ending in a whole different part of the country. So maybe you do a pre-night or whatever. Yeah, and they have got kids, so they're going to really take it. It's nice. It's just a load off. They don't have to think about a thing. They're just going to chill.
We have a range of options too. I think that's, you know, as you hear, a lot of people hear escorted tour and they think, oh, I'm going to be on a bus the whole time.
It's a lot of people. I don't want to deal with other people.
But there are escorted tours that include like biking across these national parks. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, if you want to go hardcore like and water rafting and all that, you can do that. You can do bits and pieces of that. So there's a wide variety of companies that block this space. And sometimes there, I mean, if you really want to camp, call us because there are options too, where they will, they'll bring your tents and everything. I mean, you get all the experience of camping. Somebody else will pitch your tent for you. And I don't know too many people who love camping who would say, no, don't pitch my tent for me. I'd like to do that myself. Thank you very much. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely options. So if you live on the East Coast and you want to go camping in the parks on the West, in the western side of the country, and you don't want to bring all your gear.
Yeah. That's another thing too. I mean, I had the luxury of having relatives in California who could lend us a bunch of stuff. But if you don't have that, I mean, and some people who camp travel pretty light, you know, and hike. And I mean, I knew somebody who hiked the John Muir Trail, and you know, you're basically, you have to carry everything with you. So that's a whole different kind of trip
for that. You just do that yourself.
That's a whole different kind of trip. But but you know, so this year, another thing they're doing is there are certain days that they're having free admission to the parks. But as I was researching this, there are kind of a lot of ways to do it that you can get. Well, one of the big things, and my mother did this, was getting a senior pass, and it's only $20, and it's a lifetime pass. And so you can get in free to all the
National Parks. How old do you need to be for that?
I feel like you have to be 65, maybe 62.
So you didn't research that part.
No. I mean, I just know senior. Do you think you're senior? Well, then there's this, the kid one. What is it called? The Every Kid in a Park, which they came out with after my kids were already past fourth grade. But there's a government website that, it's everykidinapark.gov that you can go to. And if you have a fourth grader or you are homeschooling a 10-year-old, then you can get a pass for your family to enter the national parks too. So that's pretty cool. And if you're active military or retired military or disabled military, you get an annual pass as well, which when we drove into Yosemite, it cost us $20. And so, you know, I mean, if you want to hit a bunch of them, think about that. If you're going like Amy's mom did and hitting like four parks in less than a week, that can add up, you know? So.
But there are day trips to some of these parks too. So if you're going elsewhere, if you're going to be in San Francisco, if you're going to be in Los Angeles, you're going to be in Las Vegas, you're going to be in Breckenridge or whatever, and you want to go visit a national park, Salt Lake City, then you could take day trips as well. So
that's how I saw the Grand Canyon was there.
We did the Grand Canyon from Vegas as well. Yeah.
And some of the smaller, I was just looking up that we're going to San Francisco this summer, and I was looking up national parks, and the Golden Gate National Recreation Area is a national park, and that Alcatraz is in that.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh, cool.
If you're going to visit a city and you want, you know, we're helping you to book it, we can maybe do a tour of a national park while you're there. It doesn't have to be one of the big ones like Yosemite. It could be a small one where you might only go for an hour or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A national park is a designation. It's really important to remember that, because if it's important to the history of the United States, it probably has national park status. Like, we just visited the USS Arizona, which sounds really weird to say because it's underwater, but there's a memorial there that is a national park, and we were taken out there on a boat that was driven by Navy sailors. It's all like U.S. run, but it's a memorial, just the Vietnam memorial. Also, it's a national park.
Yeah.
So a lot of these places that you think of as important to your nation's history are actually national parks and are preserved, and you know, and should be respected for that. Likewise, I can go back to times when the budget hadn't passed and our Congress and legislature were all...
And they were closed.
And they closed them. And you would be surprised what you can't get into.
Yeah.
The Smithsonian Museums. Yeah, there's like a lot that you actually can't... You should understand, you know, what's being paid for with your tax dollars, and you should definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, you definitely take advantage. I mean, you just get so much out of it. I mean, I know I keep talking about Yosemite, but I really, there's such a place in my heart for Yosemite. And, you know, the Ansel Adams Gallery is there. And, you know, there's the whole John Muir story. You know, he's kind of the father of the whole concern. He created the Sierra Club, you know, so he's, there's just so many things that you appreciate whenever you go there and you see, you know, a deer from your campsite, or we saw a fawn that was a day old, you know, walking around our campsite. And, you know, it's just awesome. I love it. I want to go back.
But no bears. You saw no bears.
I never see bears. I don't believe there are bears in Yosemite.
There are also no alligators in Everglades
National Park. It's ridiculous. Yeah. I can't believe it. I see bears. Everyone else with me saw bears. Yeah. That whole video with the bears like peeling back your car window and stuff and all those warnings about not leaving shampoo.
That's what you were waiting for?
No. However, they make you think they're just everywhere. And a bear did come up to our campsite and came face to face with my cousin. He stayed up late, like looking at the fire and stuff. I know. And he yelled at it. And then all these people around us started yelling about the bear, and I run outside and there's a tree in my way. And everyone else saw it but me.
I'm taking Sandy with me whenever I go to a national. Exactly. There will be no bears.
There will be no bears. Yeah. That's true. It's terrible. I did see a moose in Alaska, though.
Well, I think that's pretty easy to do, so.
Well, I don't know. It took a while. It was like our last day. I didn't see them walking down the street in Anchorage, but yeah.
Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at Outlander.com, then click podcast at the top of the page, and find the episodes you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Outlander Podcast, or just search for Fly Away, or you can email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Amy, Elizabeth, Sandy, and our amazing engineer and editor, Heidi, and myself, Robin, thanks for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.